you don't always start a new job in January. But when you do, it makes restarting things really easy. Because a year ago this Sunday was the Sunday that I preached the call and we had the vote. And so I was thinking back on that message and where we kind of started 2018. And it was a little bit different because I had been here, but I didn't know if I was going to get to stay or what was going to happen. So last year there was vision, but it was never formally shared. It was kind of unpacking as we went because of the things that were there. I really do think that God was in it all because if you remember back to that message I shared with you, I didn't know what to speak about. And so I said I was going to speak on what I would want my last message to be about if that was my last opportunity. And we talked about being connected to the vine and bearing fruit. We talked about remaining present in Jesus, remaining persistent in connection, and that we're chosen by God. And I really think that was really where we spent the last year if we kind of look back over it as a church family. Would you agree? Just cultivating that mindset and that experience and that connectedness. And obviously, there's always room for that to become deeper and better and to grow as long as we're this side of heaven. I thought, man, how fitting as we do that. I actually have no blessed clue how to unpack this service for you this morning. I've never been part of a Visioning Sunday, truth be told. So I am totally making this up as we go. I don't know what that should look like, but it's going to look like whatever this ends up looking like. Last Sunday, we spent together, and this was kind of the scriptural inspiration for last Sunday. Over the last year, we've shared testimonies week after week of what God is doing. And so last Sunday was thank God, pray to him by name, tell everyone what he has done, sing songs, belt out hymns, translate his wonders into music. Keep your eyes open for God, watch for his works, and be alert for signs of his presence. We have to be able to look at our life and see what God is doing in the current, in the now. If we don't do that, it becomes very discouraging, doesn't it? Have you ever kind of gotten into that season where you just put your head down and you're just doing things and then all of a sudden it feels like nothing's ever coming together right and where's God and he can't be found? Who's all around you? You just kind of stopped looking until you started looking at all the bad stuff. And so we need to look for him everywhere. This morning, I want to give you a scripture that kind of jumped out at me as I was preparing for this, and it's from Proverbs chapter 29, and the Message translation I think is just great. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. We talked about the last Sunday that I was here, the three shepherds, and how if they didn't follow the instructions that the angels had given them, they wouldn't have seen the fulfillment. Right? They were given a word, but if they didn't take action, if they didn't follow after the star, they would have never seen the fulfillment of the word that was there. Well, honestly, church life can kind of be the same thing. God can give us words. He can have things pop out of us in scripture, but if we don't do anything with them, what good is it? If we just sit on them and go, this is a really great word, where are we going? What happens with that? Well, the answer is absolutely nothing. So we started talking in December about what this morning was going to look like, and we started unpacking the 115 expansion. And so I'm going to recap a little bit of that for you. I had been sitting in my office and fighting with numbers and just really not content with the fact that I had a decent budget, but that budget didn't afford any room for ministry. It didn't afford any room for outreach. It didn't afford any room for children's ministries or extra room for missions or those kinds of things. And there was something in me that just really wasn't okay with that. It wasn't that it wasn't well stewarded, the finances that we were anticipating for the next year. It wasn't that we hadn't applied faith, because we had. But I knew that if we're going to be the people God is calling us to be, we have to be able to have the resources to do that. And so I began calling some different pastors, and I spoke to them, and they were so great to affirm me. They said, you know, Pastor Steph, your numbers are solid. Your church is such a giving church for the size of it. Like, they deserve the applause for that, that this is kind of what you guys would get in the last couple years cumulatively. For the number of people who attend, they deserve to be commended for that. And I said, trust me, I praise them for that all the time. They're generous people. But it doesn't change that I still don't have something to work with. And I just couldn't shake this feeling of it wasn't enough. And so one, Pastor Rick Hilsden suggested maybe two budgets, and that I present two budgets and we pick which one we want to go with. And I met Pastor Craig for breakfast and began to unfold as all of these pieces came together, that we would put together a plan where we would divide out the principal and the interest on the mortgage for the next year, and we would split that between 20 families or 20 people or 20 pockets, And that would allow us then to put $27,600 into ministry in our church. Normally that money would come out of the general offering. So when you guys put your money in, part of that money goes to paying the bills, right? The hydro, the gas, all of those things. We have to pay those things, right? If we don't pay our mortgage, the pension fund gets a building because that's who our mortgage is through. If we don't pay Enbridge, we lose our gas. And so those are not optional things, but if we're going to be a people who are about the community, we're going to need funds freed up to be able to do that. In the past, as I previously shared, the amount of money that this church has put into ministry is anywhere between $800 a year total or $3,000 at the most. And I know that in seasons that can be a lot, that can be little, but I know that we need more than that if we're going to be able to make an impact in this community and in this kingdom. Because the reality is that the community that we find ourselves in Newcastle, most people who live here are actually fairly affluent. Many of them are struggling financially of their own experience, but the average income 3 years ago of a grade six family in Newcastle was over $160,000. That's one family. I don't know about you, that's not reflective of my home. That is, we live in a working community, and that presents challenges. As a church, it's really easy to reach out into a community that has felt needs, like food. And we do have that side of our community coming up that is becoming more of a thing as the community grows and regulations happen about how much low-income housing needs to be in a community. But when you're living in a community where people aren't living in dire financial need, sometimes it can be a little bit difficult to get creative and show the love of God to them. We want to be able to do that, but that means we're going to need a little bit of funds freed up to do that. And so part of this process is to be able to make that happen. In that, I want to unpack for you a little bit about some of the areas and the ways we're going to go about that, and we'll dissect more of that at the business meeting when it comes up in February. But the other things that this will allow us to do is it's going to help us to meet our goal of ending 2019 in the black, so with no debt at all. And for those of you who have been watching the church finances or part of the church for a while, we have done that the last couple years, but a lot of that has been done by everyone close the pocketbooks. We're not spending anything in the office. And so there would be things that would come up that we really could have spent money on to do ministry, but we shut it all down to be able to not end the year in a deficit. We have had some subsidies that have been granted to us to help us make that through, which we are so thankful for. But I am really believing that at the end of 2019, we are going to see God's hand move in provision financially, and it's just going to be supernatural, and we're not going to have to worry about the end of the year and how much is owing and how much is going to come in and that crunch. I really just sense that God is going to open up the heavenlies in that financial realm in this process as we're faithful, and that's not going to be an issue for us as a church going forward this year. In that, one of the things that I felt God lay on my heart as I was praying about this and unpacking it is that in 2019, we're not going to have to stress out about paying our bills. It's not uncommon during the week that you will find Leanne and I sitting over a stack of bills, a bank account of money, and we are looking at numbers and we are figuring out which check goes out and which one doesn't go out and which one has to go out because it didn't go out last month. And that's just the reality sometimes of where finances are at. But I need you to know that I truly believe deep down in my heart that we are heading into a season where that is not going to be the way we exist anymore. It's not. And I want to thank you guys for partnering with us. As you can see behind me, 15 of the 20 pledges have been spoken for. That is absolutely amazing. I am believing God for the other five. And I am asking that you would partner with the leadership team and praying for those and believing for that, because it will be revolutionary for us as a church and what we can do when we have that stress alleviated from the financial picture of the church. We joke about Sundays where attendance is up and down. What you may or may not know is we average actually 57 and a half, that's a half, people on a Sunday. You wanna? Well, yeah, sometimes some of you are pregnant. But this includes kids, but we average about 57 and a half people on a Sunday. And so as I was praying on this trip home from with breakfast with Pastor Craig and cultivating these numbers, and God birthed this plan in my heart through this conversation and through him and through these men of God who poured into me, I really felt that he put on my heart that we were going to call this plan the 115 expansion, because the 115 is expanding, and it's time that we expand on the 115. It's time that we expand our vision, that we expand our reach, and that we realize everything else around us is growing, and God has determined that it is our season to grow also. The reality is that if we were to grow, there will be a financial dividend to that also. And so as I was praying, God, how does this work? Because ultimately, if we can do more ministry, in theory, more people would be coming Sundays, right? Which, in effect, would ultimately affect the financial giving of the church as well. Out of curiosity, put your hand up if in the last year you have made Newcastle Church your home. Within the last 12 months, you've started coming, you've been here. Okay. If you have started attending the church within the last 2 years, put your hand up. If you have attended within the last 3 years. Okay, how many of you have been here for 5 years or in that ballpark? And how many of you were here before Pastor Trevor and I? Do you know what's really cool about that? Is that it's balanced. Did anybody else notice that? When we first came, I remember everyone being really excited because we came with kids and there hadn't been kids around for a really long time. The church was largely older. I really, truly, deep down in my heart, need you all to know I wish those people were still here. I miss them. My heart misses them. My pastor's heart. My friend heart. I know that God does what he does, and there are moments that people move on and things shift to get where they need to be, and that change isn't a bad thing. But there are days where I come in and I think, man, what if they were all still here? But you know what excites me? When we came, there were no other kids, and that was really exciting for people to have kids around. And then I'm pretty sure about 2 months in, after they had fed them more scotch mints than they could handle Sunday mornings before church had started, our kids kind of got a little bit old for some people, because kids take a little bit of energy. And people didn't realize they were hyping them up on sugar before church started, and there was no children's ministry. So they were kind of sitting there like this for the rest of the day. As things progressed, we started seeing some more kids come. We saw, we had Alicia's baby shower that first year for Drew. And I remember kind of wondering, man, why these ladies seem really confused about what to do at a baby shower. And if there's one thing church women do well, it's a baby shower. And as I was talking to someone, they kind of unpacked that they couldn't remember having had a baby shower since the early days of the church. That was the first one that many of them had experienced in the church. And since then, we have had Quinn and Savannah, and we've had Katie, and we had a baby shower for Charlotte. Babies everywhere. But the thing is that we don't want to swing the pendulum too much this way. Everything needs to be about balance. And so what encourages me today is that we have people who have been around for a long time and people who are somewhere in the middle and people who are new. But guys, that's going to change. And you guys are going to be the ones that people look to for direction and for guidance. And they're going to look up at you to mentor them and disciple them in the things of God, because they're going to be new believers. What I see coming isn't a bunch of people who leave other churches because they aren't happy. That's not what is about to happen in this church. And so that means that in this seasons where we've stewarded what God is showing us and we've been discipled, there's a season where you kind of store up on stuff. If you've paid attention to your kids, more often than not, you will realize that they start like hoarding food before a growth spurt, right? Like they just eat and eat and eat and eat. And then the next thing you know, none of their clothes fit them. It's okay to eat for a season. As long as you grow and you do something with it and you expend it outside, it is time for us as a church to take what we've consumed and to take what God has given us and to turn it into ministry to people who don't even know him. Now, would you like to know something beautiful about this number behind us? If every single one of you were to do what God has put before you to do, which if you didn't know, is to go out and make disciples. I'm not asking you to make like 10. If every one of you were to influence one person for Jesus in the next year, and out of that discipleship process, they got connected to the local church, because that is part of discipleship in Christ, we end this year with 115 people. It's doable. It's very doable, because the reality is that I might disciple someone and I might pour into that person and we might not see them come into a seat this year, But Pastor John might be really good at it, and two might come from his relationship and mentorship because he's retired and he has more time to invest in it than I do. High expectations, Pastor John. High expectations. It's pretty simple. I told you on the Sunday before Christmas that every Sunday in December, I kept hearing a noise and thinking, where are all these people coming from? And turn around the first week, and no, it was just you guys, and turn around the next week, and it's, and God just dropped in my spirit, you don't hear the ones who are here. You hear the ones that are coming. They are out there, guys. They're not out there for me to go find. You have a responsibility. You have a mandate to go out and to make disciples, every single one of you. Not one of you is excluded. It's an offshoot of relationship with Jesus. It just happens. 115 people. Do you know what a difference that would make in our offerings if we had 115 people at the end of this year who were being discipled and they understood that financial provision also comes from God, so they were diligently discipled in financial stewardship? We have a whole different conversation this time next year. That just is kind of exciting to me. In this process, part of the plan is to have one kids' church in the back room by the end of the year that there will be 15 kids in. One kids' church with 15 kids. It's my heart that at the end of 2019, we will be planning, Lord willing, to be in preparations to have a toddler room for the kids who are too old to be in with the babies and too young to be in with the school-age kids. Maybe it won't happen in 2020, but I believe that at the end of this year, we're going to be in a place where we need to plan for how we're going to deal with those kids because they have special needs and they're capable and able. I think of Jordan and Quinn and how much they can learn about the Lord in this season of their life if we could facilitate that in the right way with the right teachers in that moment. That excites me. This morning, we were in the back, and Cheryl said to me this morning, I was around, she goes, what is going on? I said, I'm going back there. She said, what are you doing? I said, I'm taking my music, I'm taking my Bible, I'm going to do some warfare. She said, what? I said, yes, you can come. I know you're waiting for your coffee, but come with. So we're in the back, and we are battling in the heavenlies. And Quinn, and we have often joked about this with Quinn, in all sincerity, though it's true, that girl is like a Holy Spirit hound. She seeks out the move of God, and she won't let it go. And so Drew and Quinn were playing around, and they managed to open the door we had closed that you can't see through. And the next thing you know, you see Quinn's face on the glass like this. And she is unimpressed beyond measure. Like, she is not happy. And so I snuck over. The girls were still praying. And I said, hey, Quinn. She goes, yeah. I said, well, we're praying. Yeah. I said, would you like to pray with us? Yeah. For 45 minutes, that girl was on me. And went every step of the way with me. When I lifted my hand, she lifted her hands. When I put my hands on Alicia to pray for her, she put her hand on Alicia to pray for her. Guys, toddlers can worship the Lord. They have access. And if we don't train them up, how do they know where to go? So there are moments where we get to bring them into those big people moments and they grow with us. But there are other moments that, don't be fooled, it is our responsibility as big people to steward our giftings into them, to train them up in the way that means something to them. That's on us, because that is the future. That is what that looks like. Obviously, if we're going to finish with 115 people and 15 kids in the back rooms, I am expecting salvations in this next year as God has poured that into my heart. And it is my hope and prayer and belief that at the end of 2019, we're not going to have had just one baptismal service. We're going to have had two baptismal services, as there are so many people who are coming to the Lord who are looking to follow that out in discipleship. That might sound ridiculous. That might sound old school. But I am a firm believer that while your salvation does not hinge on baptism, if you want to follow his commands, you got to get in that water. It's the way it works. And I am believing that, heck, we can leave it here every Sunday if we want. I'm good with that. But guys, these are the things that we have to start expecting. These are the things that God is planting in my heart and in the leadership's heart. Because as we free up funds to be able to step out and reach people's needs and not have to turn those needs away and be intentional about what we're doing, we will see transformation happen. It's inevitable. Absolutely inevitable. We need to know our position as a church, okay? If we go into this year and we don't know who we are called to be, we are going to have some pretty big issues. And so I think back to was it 4 years ago now that we had the business meeting, and Alicia was taking notes over here, and we were having the discussion about the church name and what we were going to change the church name to from Crossroads Christian Assembly. And as we dug into the research and we looked at what was happening, we found out that this church was actually initially intended to be Newcastle Pentecostal Church. When it was planted, that was supposed to be the name, and the intent of that church was very specific. It was to reach areas of smaller communities where people weren't really necessarily connecting with Liberty, which had been our planting church at that time, and to reach out. And so I think of the scripture in Acts chapter 1, where it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The disciples needed to know their mission. It was very specific. It was very targeted. We had that discussion, and we debated, like, are we Clarington Pentecostal Church? Are we, like, we had some different options, but we felt very firmly that we needed to be Newcastle Pentecostal Church because we are located in Newcastle. That is the ground that we stand on. We are Pentecostal, and we are a church. We're not going to be ashamed of who we are. And we felt very specifically that that initial mandate had not lifted from us as a church body, that we have people who come from Bowmanville and Curtis. We have people who come from, Caitlin was driving from Toronto at one point. We have people who come from all over, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But we need to know that our mandate, our Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, is Newcastle, Orono, and Newtonville. We need to be intentional, because if we aren't being intentional, we're not being who he positioned us to be. So listen, you can read that scripture this next year, and maybe you just want to read it like this, but you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Newcastle and Orono and Newtonville and to the ends of the earth. That is where we are called to be. So what I'm saying is, you're going to be a light for Jesus where you're at. When Alicia goes to nurse and she's selling cars, she's a light in that community in Whitby, and that's great. And if those people from Whitby want to come to church here, amazing. But if they want to go to Whitby Christian Assembly, amazing. They're getting discipled and plugged into the kingdom. But as a church, we have a mandate, a covenant, if you will, to be the light in Newcastle and Newtonville and Orono, and to be intentionally reaching those people. And it's not going to happen by accident. It can't, particularly not when half of us don't live here. We've got to be really intentional about that. And if we don't, we're not stewarding our responsibility well. And so in this season, that's what we're going to do. When we talk about the ends of the earth, we have been supporting for this past just over a year now. We gave the missions committee a twofold mandate. One was that they were to find a local kind of ministry that we were going to support with the missions emphasis. And so we started supporting the Aboriginal Bible Academy, and we've been supporting them monthly. The second mandate that the missions committee had was to find an international missionary that we would support as a church family. And so we have a board meeting coming up this week. The missions committee is presenting their three options, and we will secure the one that we will be supporting. And so for the next year, we will be giving to world missions as well for the first time purposefully out of our budget. We have done it in the past, in the last 6 years, but it's been money that we've collected and we've sent it to Romania, or money that we've collected and things that we've sent to Cuba. But we will partner with this missionary in prayer and finances and encouragement and all of those ways. And I need you to know that if all goes as planned in this financial plan, our plan is that by the end of 2019, we will be giving three times the amount of money we gave last year to missions. My hope and heart as we reach these communities is that we will have four community touch points off-site in 2019. So what that means, that's just kind of fancy words to say, four times where we are going to purposefully go out and be in the community and just love on them. And it's not going to be about preaching the gospel at them. It's going to be about building relationship and being visible and meeting a need and having fun with them and building relationship and connecting and creating opportunities for that. So two of those are already established. We are going to do the Easter egg hunt in the port again like we did last year. We saw great success with that. And we actually need to like triple the amount of eggs that we collected last year for this year. So no pressure. If you see them go on sale, start buying. It was a great opportunity. And you know, the one thing that happened as we were handling out, we ran that event under the banner of playgroup, because we thought it might be a little bit safer for some people. And after everything we had gone through with the daycare, we didn't know how the church name was going to be received. And we thought, you know what? This is the connection point. This is the logical way to walk this out. And it was kind of funny. Pastor Trevor was tasked with the handing out the playgroup flyers. And as he handed them out, he could hear this grumbling happen. Oh, here comes the Jesus stuff. Because they thought that they were being sideswiped. Like, they thought it wasn't actually about relationship with them. They thought it was just a chance to preach. And the thing is, guys, that God is love. And love happens in relationship. And there are moments where God might give you a word for someone that you don't know, but in those moments, we are building relationship. We are showing love. We are opening a door. We are showing them that we actually care about them and their families, because God does. So why shouldn't we? And so that's just what we're going to do. The second one that we did last year, it was a last minute thing, and we kind of slapped that bad boy together, was the Winter Wonder Lights. But we're going to do that with much more purpose and intentionality heading into the fall of this year. We made wooden Christmas decoration stars. The kids decorated them. We gave them cookies. And it was a really great opportunity just to be out and to have something and to mix and mingle with people. We are kicking around multiple ideas for the other two events. One of them is renting the pool and doing a family swim. So we've set aside the budget to rent the entire pool, the slide, pay for all the lifeguards, so that as you guys are intentionally building relationship with people, we can bring them to a place where they can meet other people and connect with them also. No risk, no nothing like that. Maybe in the future. But the thing is that these last two events remain open because these two events are in Newcastle. What's our problem? So listen, we got to get creative. And if you live in those communities, I am trusting you to be the voice of the need in your community and how we can show Jesus there. We can have more than four, okay? I'm aiming for four. That's one a quarter, but we can have more than four. But we need to be a part of these places, because the reality is, guys, most of the time, they're not going to accidentally come to us. People don't accidentally come to church Sunday morning. It's not a thing. So we're going to go to them, and we're going to be purposeful in that. The next one's very exciting. It is the plan that we will have a youth or junior high program, and that by the end of 2019, we would have 15 youth and junior highs regularly in attendance. Now listen, I am very much about being strategic, so that is not gonna look like your typical youth group to begin with, okay? What it's gonna look like is we've set aside money in the budget to rent the gym at the rec center once a month for an hour. And so we will invite the kids, like the junior high and youth, so it'll be kids who go to the Pines or kids who go to high school, and they will come and they will play sports, and we'll have to source the leaders for that, and we'll get to hang out and play with them too. But we're gonna build relationship. We're gonna sit on the sidelines with the girls who don't wanna play but come, and we're gonna do their hair or paint their nails. We're just gonna do life. And at the end of, I'm hoping at some point during the year, that with Eldon Wright's help, we can connect with a youth leader from Masters who would be willing to be a part of that, but commit to one other point at a month where we would have a discipleship of sorts here at the church for the church kids, so that the church kids can have that moment to go a little bit deeper on their level. The community kids have a safe place to come into, and we're gonna do it this way. And I understand you might be thinking that sounds really surfacey. There's a reason for that. It's because when we launch a full youth ministry, a full junior high ministry, I want to launch it well. I want to launch it with relationship and intentionality. And so if the kids from the gym want to come to the discipleship period, that's not going to not be an option. But the intent in the beginning is not to merge those two into one this year. It's to meet two separate needs. Because the reality is that we have youth among us who are, you guys are amazing, and they listen Sunday mornings, and they get stuff out of it, and they apply it, but they need to be able to connect with it in a way that's relevant to where they're at too, which is different than where we're at. And so that is my hope and plan for the end of the year. But again, the reason we need the finances is, and it costs money to rent the gym. It just does. It costs money to feed teenagers pop and chips, which is what they love. not giving them veggie straws and carrot sticks, guys. Don't worry, it's not going to happen. Unless you want them, and then I'll bring you a Ziploc bag, and I'll, like, sneak them to you on the side. Now, listen, I know that this portion of the plan can sound really unspiritual. Can we go that way? Just really practical. I sat in my office this week, and I sat in my bedroom as I worked on things, and I didn't know which part of this plan to unpack to you first, the practical side or the spiritual side. It was like a coin toss as to what was the best way to go. I settled on sharing this portion of things with you first because ultimately I felt like I've asked you to financially get behind something, so if I don't unpack for you in the first place what that financial component is behind, then it's going to look a little bit weird if I went the other way. And so next week we're going to unpack the spiritual dimensions of this process. But the one thing that I want to make very clear to you today is that it's not wrong to have strategy. If you look at the book of Acts, the disciples had strategy. They had a process. The first thing they do is cast lots to replace Judas. They didn't need to be told to do that. It just was the right thing to do. And so there are pieces of this process that might not seem super spiritual, but they are the right thing to do. It is the right thing to steward some finances and replace our soundboard so that some Sunday morning it doesn't explode on us. So there is money set aside for that. Truly. It is the right thing to make sure that our ministries are equipped in-house. Because if we're going to bring people in, we don't want them to get here and not be ready for them. So we're going to keep working on finishing the last little bits of the renovation that has happened. And in the course of 2019, hopefully if all goes well, you will see the kitchen completed as well. And there's a contingency plan that would allow us, if finances were available, to be able to work on the sanctuary, and also the parking lot needs to be tackled as well. These are things that if we want to be ready, if we want to be able to keep our doors open, we have to be able to do those things, because the reality is things take upkeep. So if we don't move on to the next sections, then either the roof falls down on us from the inside, because we've dealt with the outside portion of the roof, or we haven't dealt with this and the back stuff needs to be redone already again, because things take maintenance, and the more we use them, the more that maintenance schedule is upped because things are going on. We shared with you a couple weeks ago that we replaced the hot water tank. Enbridge is coming in Thursday. All the gas will be shut off because they're rerunning all of our external pipes and everything else. It's just part of the process. Those things happen on a spiritual dimension, on a practical dimension, on an administrative dimension as a church as well. But the thing that I want you to know is that at the end of the day, his presence still matters. It still matters. And if you look at the book of Acts and John, you can see these scriptures. John chapter 4, verse 13, I'm sorry, it's small, says, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that those men had been with Jesus." I want to encourage you this morning that if you are afraid of your responsibility to go out and to make disciples, to share Christ, they were ordinary men, and what people noticed was they had been with Jesus. You are ordinary people, but if you have been in his presence, people will notice, and he will do all the work. You just need to have faith and open your mouth. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants," they're praying in John, "to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. If you leave his presence and you take it with you and you call out to him, he will shake the place where you are boldly. He will. But what you have to know is that in this passage where Peter and John went out, they didn't do it so people would come to them on Sunday mornings and then just hang out with those people. They were out among the people. And I feel very convicted that the presence of the Lord is with us, and we haven't seen anything yet compared to what's coming. But if we don't steward it out, it will not show up in. It just won't, because this isn't a feel-good club where we kind of self-help with the Holy Spirit and we get beefed up on Jesus so that we can keep doing that. There's a process. It's about shining his light outside of these walls, and we are entrusted with that responsibility. And if we do it, we can know that he will act, and there's nothing about us or our lack that will stop him, because he's God and he can do whatever he wants to do. Paul in Acts chapter 16 says, "Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia, I wanted to include that one also because what I want you to know is I have a plan. I don't have all the pieces of the plan. You saw the question marks. There are some pieces that will unfold as we go, but I need you to know that as a leadership team, we are committed to being found in his presence. And if the Holy Spirit says, don't go, we're not going. So if the plan looks like this and he says, stop, my commitment to you is stop. If the plan is to go this way and he clearly says, redirect, we will redirect because that's what life in the Spirit looks like. The early church experienced it. We've seen it in so many churches along the way. How can we not walk in that now? And we keep doing what we're doing and not and going where we're going, but we're going to plateau again. And I don't know about you, but I didn't come this far to do this. As I sat in my office, I pulled a couple files. And if you ever want to see them, you're welcome to. One of them is my chicken scratch, so you'd have to scroll. I have two files that sit in my office. One of them is words from the waiting prayer night. You'll remember that this past year we had nights of waiting where we just came and we turned on soaking music and we had a scripture and we just spent like an hour and a half waiting on God and to see what he said. The other file is they're prophetic words that have been spoken over Newcastle Pentecostal Church. This is just a couple. You are coming into a season of a whole lot of new arrivals. That was said to us last year. You are not traditional. I'm aware this is not traditional. I get that. I get that it's a leap, but honestly, I couldn't have come up with this plan on my own if I wanted. I couldn't have thought these things. I stink at math, and I never would have realized the seriousness of those numbers and how they fall together. It's not traditional, but that's how I know God is in it. We have to trust God and act. It's not enough to believe. It's not enough to just have faith. We have to step out and act, and it's the time to do that now. God has been up to something for a very long time in this house, and he's been working things in it. God always works in, and then he works out. It's time to work out. That's the time. Here is what I hear in this house. You are intentionally moving as an army. You are intentionally rising up. You are intentionally going after the promises of God, and you are intentionally saying, we are not just going to exist. We are going to do something. I want to do something. Not for my own accolades, not for my name, not for the church's name, but I want to do something for the kingdom of God in this community. And I'm hoping and believing from everything I've heard that you guys are right there walking step by step with that. Let me say one more thing that is very important for this house. Small things matter. Small things matter. It matters that we take down Christmas trees. It matters that we clean up garbage. It matters that toilets are cleaned. It matters that bulletins are folded. There is no thing that is too small. Small things matter. And so whatever you do, little or much, know that God can be in it. There are a whole lot of small things God wants someone to start taking responsibility for. The reputation of this house is getting out there. I can sense that God is trying to convince you and show you, and I think that he has by the end of last year, that you haven't seen anything yet. I heard something else in my spirit, Perry said. He is lighting a passion in the house, and there's a fire that it can't contain, and it can't be controlled, and you want to have more of God, and God wants more of you. It's beautiful, isn't it? I can see it. I can see it in your faces. I can see it in the atmosphere. And the last one I want to leave you with is that to go for more, you can't look at yesterday. What was before was before. It's our history. It's our past. It's what we built on. We don't dishonor the things that honor is due. But if we want to go forward, we are not looking back anymore. We can't do it. We just can't. It's a new season. I was thinking this morning of the scripture that talks about springs rising up in the desert. That's the season, guys. We're there. And if we don't capitalize and if we don't run with it and if we don't go with it, we'll stay in the desert. That's not what his best plan for us is. There is a whole spiritual component to this that we're going to begin unpacking next week. And in that, it's funny, this morning as we were in that back room praying before prayer time, Sharon felt very strongly to share that we would have an opportunity to pray for people, that God would give them a word for this year, that they would have a word that they could carry forward into this year of what he wants to steward in them, which is funny because I believe that the word for the church, and God revealed this to me this fall, is expansion. That is the word for 2019 for us as a church. And I had to laugh as some of you started posting your words on Facebook. The third word on my paper is discipline. We have to be disciplined people of God. And so we're going to unpack that. But what I want to offer the opportunity for this morning is that maybe you've never asked God for a word for your year going forward, something that he's asking you to steward, that he wants to pour in, that he wants to give you. But I believe that he has one for you, and I believe that that will challenge you to grow in ways that you can't begin to expect, that you'll see him move in those ways. And I am believing that if we pray about it this morning and you pray about it this week, that as we come back together next week, we will see our words weave together into what he's painting for us as a church, that it will just be strength and it will be unity and it will be all of these things that come together to purpose us forward as a church body to do what he has called us to do. And so this morning, I'm actually going to ask if the worship team would come back up. I want you to know this. It's not going to happen. It's not. But if somehow we get to the end of this year and there are still 57.5 of us sitting here, God will still have done something miraculous in this place. It's up to us to engage with it, though. It's up to us to walk it out. And so I am going to close in a word of prayer. I'm actually going to ask the worship team if they would play that last song again. Once I pray, you are welcome to come to the front, and I'll ask the board, if anyone comes to the front, if you would join me to pray for them. And we're just going to pray that God would give you purpose and direction and vision for this year and clarity in that. And you're free to go if you don't want to come to the front for prayer. You are free to go if you have received prayer and you're ready to go. I am believing God for big things, not just in our church, but in your life in 2019, because I know that this is the season that he's going to do something crazy for all of you. And so would you stand with me this morning? God, it is our desire this morning to worship you, to come before you and understand that you are the source of all our life, that you are the one who saves, that you are the one who makes a way, that you are coming back for us again as your children. That's not something that we think, it's something that we know. And so this morning, God, I pray that you would impart to people vision and direction and clarity for their personal life. God, I pray that you would instill purpose in people in this place this morning. God, I pray as a church body, as we go for you, as we do the untraditional thing, that we would have testimonies of you moving in crazy ways, not because of anything we've done, but because you are so good to show yourself to a people who need to know you. God, we pray for the 115 people who will fill this place. Holy Spirit, move their hearts, soften them, speak to them, prepare them. And God, when the time is right, would you give us your words to speak to them? God, when the time is right, would we not stumble over ourselves, but God, would your word be spoken in season? We know that you have done even more than that. God, I cry out to you on behalf of the families who are struggling and need to know you. God, would you give them encouragement and hope in your word? God, would you pour out your blessing on the children's ministry? God, as they get ready for growth, as they get ready for expansion, would you raise them up? Would you raise them up as a team to be ready to steward those children back to you? We love you so much, Father God, and we await with anticipation the testimony service at the end of this year where we get to just point back to you all the praise for what you are doing. God, you set up the plan a long time ago. Give us the courage and the faith to walk it out with you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.